Here are the stories we're covering this week in the Category5.tv newsroom. Autonomous race cars are now a thing. A newly demonstrated 3D printed heart works much like a real one. We have found our greatest weapon against the coming robot apocalypse. Google is giving Glass one more try. Microsoft SQL Server 2017's first release candidate has landed, and yes, it runs on Linux. Support for Ubuntu 16.10 ends tomorrow. And in a rather comical social experiment, a UK Wi-Fi provider has tricked users into agreeing to 1,000 hours of community service. These stories are coming right up. Don't go anywhere.
Jeff Weston.
Yeah, man.
You're building a brand new, beautiful website.
What?
Aren't you?
No. Am I?
Oh, you're a terrible actor.
What?
This is where acting comes into play.
Oh, I didn't know we were acting.
You're supposed to act.
Okay, fair enough.
All right. Yeah, I'm building a really cool website. Are you building a really cool website? You need hosting. One of the things about a hosting account is you don't want to have limitations put on your website.
It's true.
How much hard drive space do you have? How many email accounts? How many domains can point to it? Well, we've got an amazing deal for you. For a very limited time, cat5.tv/dreamhost. For just $5 and a bit of change per month, you are going to get unlimited website hosting, unlimited email accounts on that hosting service. You are also going to receive a free domain name.
Ooh.
So your own .com.
Nice.
To put that amazing website that you've been working on
it's
on
true.
There. If you want to build a WordPress site, fine. Sign up. cat5.tv/dreamhost.
Just don't put Panama Papers on it.
Just don't do it. But hey, it's a great deal, folks. Best deal you're going to find. $5 and change per month. Go to cat5.tv/dreamhost.
I'm Sasha Dermatis, and here are the top stories for the week of July 19th, 2017. The sleek, low-slung, driverless robo-race car was on display in New York City for the Formula E races this weekend, but it was the workhouse DevBot that took the track. You can recognize DevBot by its bubble-like cockpit, where a human sits ready to take the wheel if the autonomous car needs a literal hand. Given Formula E's one-day structure with qualifying sessions early in the day and the race in the afternoon, Robo Race is able to take advantage of the empty track in the middle of the day for demonstrations of its artificial intelligence system on wheels. DevBot did a practice run early Saturday morning, then spent an hour taking laps in front of the crowd in the afternoon. DevBot has an array of sensors plus advanced GPS for navigating the track, which is not programmed into the car's computers. It reads the track and learns the route as it goes, which means DevBot drives much more slowly than the Formula E cars. The driver took control for a lap, likely to train the AI at speed, and then an in-car camera behind the driver's shoulder was projected onto large screens around the track so spectators could see if and when the driver had to put hands on the wheel. The completely driverless robo race car did take a lap on its own in Paris, but it was moving more slowly than DevBot in New York. There's no official word on when robo race vehicles will be ready to actually race. There was an optimistic idea that the field of 20 driverless cars would be taken to the track in the 2017-2018 season, but DevBot's demonstration on Saturday showed that a fully autonomous race later this year is unlikely. Well, there you have it.
That is cool, though. Can you imagine sitting down and watching race cars that are autonomously
Love that.
That would be neat.
I would not want to be the driver, like the person, the non-driver driver.
Well,
because then you would just be struggling
DevBot
with. DevBot
has
do you need
that. But the other cars, like the one that was on display, like this guy here, there's no driver cockpit.
That I love.
That one does not have it. Plain and simple.
Incredible.
So imagine seeing those guys go around the track. I mean, once they go around one slow lap to learn the lay of the land. And
but
you know
then,
what? Then we can get the thrill of seeing the race happen with no risk.
Exactly.
At least no risk to the drivers. And I would assume that they would have it safely set up for the spectators.
And if autonomous cars can work in these conditions, right, with cars obviously weaving in out, right?
At they can some communicate point, at a subconscious computer level.
Exactly.
They could be like, okay, we're going by the mayor right now. Let's do like this, like crazy cutoff scene.
Exactly. Well, if they can do things like that, it gives me hope for the future. And I know that there's been some hiccups.
This is what it took, folks. Autonomous race cars gives Sasha hope for the future.
Hope for the future.
I'm not mocking you. I'm agreeing with you.
It works. It works really well in the fact that, okay, so if you have autonomous vehicles like this that can weave in and out of traffic on a racetrack, what if you development model? Right.
Yep.
What if you could then have cars that are supposed to be autonomous cars on the roads learn how to take evasive strategy maneuvers, maybe have some autonomous, I don't know, ambulances out there or something that could really get through traffic to people faster. I like it.
Cool.
Not that you want to have a race car ambulance, but
maybe one day once they perfect it. Yes, absolutely.
Eventually. The science of prosthetics has been advancing by leaps and bounds over the last few years, and research into soft robotics has been especially complementary. The same techniques that go into making a robot arm that flexes and turns like a real one can go into making more complex, subtle organs, like the heart, as Swiss researchers have demonstrated. One problem with artificial hearts is that the metal and plastic mechanisms can be difficult to integrate with tissue or damage the blood because of their unnatural movement style. A small team at ETH, led by doctoral student Nicholas Kors, has created what they say is the first artificial heart that's entirely soft, with its pumping mechanism achieved by causing the silicone ventricles to pump very much like a real heart. The heart was created using a 3D printed method that lets researchers make a complex inner structure while still using soft, flexible materials as the structure. The whole thing is basically one single part, so there's no need to worry about how different internal mechanisms fit together. This heart is a proof of concept, not built for actual implantation, so the materials they made it from don't last more than a few thousand beats, which is about a half an hour. But the plan, obviously, is to have materials and designs that work for much longer than that. I think to myself, okay, so say you don't get an artificial heart that would be a long-term situation, but what if you're in a hospital waiting for a transplant and you only need a month before, or, you know, you only need 2 months, right?
Yeah, waiting for transplants.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Right? That it'll bridge the gap because you hear a lot about people who just, the transplant just didn't come in time. Right? They only needed it at a small amount of time. So, maybe this 3D printed heart might not last 30 years like a human heart would, but it would last 30 days, which is enough to get you
more than dialysis, but not as much as an actual heart, an organ. Then that could work.
Huh. Good job, guys.
Patent it.
A security robot in Washington, D.C. suffered a watery demise after falling into a fountain by an office building. The stricken robot, made by Nightscope, was spotted by pedestrians whose photos of the aftermath quickly went viral on social media. For some, the incident seemed to sum up the state of 21st century technology. "We were promised flying cars. Instead, we got suicidal robots," wrote one worker from the building on Twitter. Peter Singer, author of Wired for War, a book about military robotics, commented, "Steps are our best defense against the robo-apocalypse." It is not the first accident involving Nightscope's patrolling robots, which are equipped with various instruments, including face recognition systems, high-definition video capture, infrared and ultrasonic sensors. Last year, a 16-month-old toddler was run over by one of the autonomous devices in a Silicon Valley shopping center. Don't worry, his injuries were not serious. And earlier this year, a Californian man was arrested after attacking a Nightscope robot. That man, who was drunk at the time of the incident, said later he simply wanted to test the machine, according to Nightscope. Tested how? Do
that
you see my face?
So much
do you recognize
like
my
Jeff
face?
Would do.
Yeah, it totally does. Just testing it. It's fine.
Just seeing, you know, poke it.
Exactly.
Poke it. Prod it.
Can you see me now?
Push it.
Yeah, that testing the machine. I understand that, but the 16-month-old baby situation.
Yeah, I remember
that's
the story.
That's scary.
That's a bit of an issue.
Yeah.
Lucky that fortunate for the parents and for the child that they were okay.
And there could have been a real injury.
This thing is 300 pounds.
Yeah.
So, you know, that would hurt running over your foot.
Right, exactly. So, it obviously needs some bugs worked out. I still am in support of the RoboCops. There we go.
They're cute. They look like R2-D2.
I love them. I think that, how I'm great serious. Would it be if you had a simple complaint?
Aww.
Right?
Doesn't that make you sad? Does anyone else feel sad right now?
I feel sad. If you had something simple that needed to be done, right? Like, it's so great to have a robot to be able to do it. Simple, not walking down the stairs.
Have you ever seen the Doctor Who episode, though, where the robots have the smiley emojis and the angry emojis? You don't want to get one with an angry emoji.
No.
So, you know, maybe they should stop making them.
It's funny because I actually really do, like, I suffer, you know, the Uncanny Valley, that whole phenomena?
Yeah.
I actually suffer pretty bad. Like, I don't like the inflatable flaily arm mans freak me out because they look like people having seizures.
You're not going to get that from one of these floating eggs, though.
Yeah, see, so but these
it
make
looks like
me,
an egg.
They
it's
make
not
me
trying
comfortable.
To look like a human.
Thank goodness.
They're adorable.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Google is reviving its failed glass project, the smart headset designed to augment everyone's vision as a product for businesses. The internet giant said it is designing an upgraded version of the Glass headset released in 2013 that will have a better battery life and be more comfortable to wear. The revamped headset will be called Glass Enterprise Edition and is designed for use in industries such as manufacturing and healthcare. Google says it can augment users' vision with hands-free information as they work. While the company publicly ditched the smart eyewear, stopping sales and deleting the Glass social media accounts, Google had quietly kept it alive for the past 2 years. Google has spent this time working with dozens of partners to create customized software for certain industries and businesses. It has tested the new product in the U.S. with firms including DHL, Doctors at Dignity Health, and agricultural machinery manufacturer AGCO. The firms reported the tool had helped improve efficiency and reduce the time taken for administrative tasks.
You know that realistically, though, all that people are going to do with Google Glass... See that?
That's what people are gonna do.
That's all they're gonna do. That's it. Whoa. So cute.
Okay, now here's what I want. I want Google Glass. I want it in my life. I work, as you know, in a very busy chiropractic clinic. I see people coming and going all of the time. I will not be doing this. I want Google Glass to know the names of the people that are walking in case I stop that, Robbie.
Oh, sorry, were you saying something?
Yeah.
Okay.
In case that there's somebody that I don't exactly immediately recognize and know the name of, right? Yeah. I want them to say, like...
That would be cool.
This is Fred. Yeah. Then I can... Hey, Fred, how's it going?
Reminds me of
I don't
Black
want
Mirror.
Him to know, but... yeah.
Black Mirror, remember that episode?
Yeah, it's true.
With the... Where they're, like, you know, on their phones and I know everything about you just by looking at the phone.
That was a good episode.
That was a creepy, awesome episode.
I sort of want Google Glass. I don't want it to be very obvious that I'm wearing it. I don't want... Right. I mean, I guess Google Glass wants you to be
advertising
them. But I want to just like connect to one side of my glasses.
That'd be cool.
Microsoft's long, gentle embrace of Linux continues with the first release candidate of SQL Server 2017. Microsoft said the early release would land in the middle of this year. Arguably, since this is only the RC1 level release, Microsoft's SQL Server on Linux is running late. There's not much detail on what's in the box with this TechNet blog post only saying SQL Server 2017 support for Linux includes the same high availability solutions on Linux as Windows Server, including always-on availability groups integrated with Linux native clustering solutions like Pacemaker. There's also Active Directory authentication, so domain-joined Windows or Linux client or Linux clients can use their domain credentials to sign into SQL Server. As Microsoft discussed last December when the first public preview landed, getting SQL Server onto Linux needed an abstraction layer, which the company has dubbed Drawbridge. Drawbridge provides a host extension running as a Linux application. This initializes SQL Pal, which offers the Windows calls needed to launch SQL Server. It's not only about Linux. The other goodies in the release candidate include analytics in either R or Python, graph data processing for discovering complex many-to-many relationships, and an adaptive query processing to auto-tune the database. TLS support is also built into the release to encrypt data between the SQL server and clients. Are you an Ubuntu user? If you're using Ubuntu 16.10 Yakety Yak, it hits end of life tomorrow, July 20th. Released on October 13th, 2016, Ubuntu 16.10 is a short-term release with a 9-month support cycle. That support period is about to end. This means that no further maintenance updates, critical security upgrades, or updated packages will be released by Ubuntu developers, and no official support will be given. Third-party developers who distribute software via PPAs or other repositories often end support for EOL releases too. Although the software itself will continue to work, it's highly recommended that you upgrade to a supported version of Ubuntu, such as the current short-term release Ubuntu 17.04 or the current LTS release Ubuntu 16.04 LTS, to ensure you continue getting security updates and critical fixes. The supported upgrade path from Ubuntu 16.10 is to Ubuntu 17.04. Ubuntu 17.04 continues to be actively supported with security updates and select high impact bug fixes, and will continue to receive them until February of next year. Unwitting customers in the United Kingdom who didn't read the terms and conditions for use of a public Wi-Fi hotspot agreed to perform 1,000 hours of community service, including unclogging sewers and scraping gum off of the street. The gag was conceived by Wi-Fi provider Purple. The company inserted the clause into its terms and conditions, the technically legally binding agreement consumers approve in exchange for free use of internet, though virtually few had actually read the terms. The company said it did so to call attention to the fact that consumers are regularly agreeing to terms that they might not actually like, including granting access to private information and data about their web browsing habits. Other community service tasks agreed to by the users included providing hugs to stray cats and dogs and painting snail shells to brighten up their existence. The agreement also promised a prize to anyone who actually became aware of the prize's existence after reading the terms and conditions, yet after 2 weeks, only one person came forward to claim the prize. This isn't the first time a stunt like this has been pulled. In 2014, cybersecurity firm F-Secure ran a similar experiment in London, operating a Wi-Fi hotspot that anyone could use in exchange for their firstborn child. Yep. The so-called Herod Clause was clearly stated in the terms and conditions, and six people still signed up. Though it's not clear how many of them simply disliked their eldest children. Wow. I will tell you, I don't always read my terms and conditions.
It's true.
So
it's yeah. We're just so sick and tired of it.
It turns out I frequently use this free Wi-Fi that's really close to my work.
Oh, yeah?
And after today reading this story, I thought, maybe I should read those terms and conditions.
It's kind of twofold, though, isn't it? Because when I connect to a public Wi-Fi, I'm not doing anything
No,
private.
You're not doing anything private ever. When you're on a public, please don't.
Don't do it. I mean, people go to a hotel and they use the free Wi-Fi and then they realize that their accounts have all been hacked.
Well, yeah, don't do your online banking on free Wi-Fi.
Don't. Yeah. But that's common sense. But when I go, it needs an email address. Well, I just make something up. Like, I'm not going to use, I know I'm, that's bad practice, right?
Yeah.
But truthfully, I know that they're spying on you.
Exactly.
You know that they're spying on
you. I use it to, like, stream Spotify. Like, I do it to, like, do nothing else on my phone.
When I go to KFC, yeah? I use their free Wi-Fi. I enter support@kfc.ca as my email address.
Oh, that's awesome.
And then I bring up their website, and I bring up the coupon, and I save myself $3 on my purchase. Just like that.
For the win.
That's how we do it.
Big thanks this week to Sparkly Balls, Roy W. Nash, Garby, the Albuquerque Turkey, and our community of viewers for submitting stories to us this week. Thanks for watching the Category5.tv newsroom. Don't forget to like and subscribe for all your tech news with a slight Linux bias. And for more free content, be sure to check out our website. From the Category5.tv newsroom, I'm Sasha Dermatis.